Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 33. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A continuation of the reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the tares, we might wonder if this account was what was in his mind that day as he spoke with Abraham. Abraham is a man set apart, the Lord's man, the bearer of the divine promise that all nations would be blessed in him. And so the Lord tells Abraham what he intends to do in Sodom and its surrounds. And hearing that, Abraham pleads for mercy for sinners on account of the righteous who may be in their midst. He doesn't say, "Give them what they deserve." He does pray, "Have mercy on account of them, on account of the righteous who live in the midst of the wicked." Abraham is willing to let the tares exist for the sake of the wheat. Abraham is not like most of us. He's certainly not like Jonah, who is so reluctant to go to the Assyrians, because who would want that violent and evil people to be saved? Nor is he like James and John, those sons of thunder, who were most willing to call down death upon the Samaritan sinners who rejected Jesus. In our days of rapid societal change, when decline and decay accelerate, what are we found doing? Genders ebb and flow like the tide. You never know what's coming down. We've come to think that we can define who we are independent of how we have been created. Men overcome women in fields of sport and receive their awards and accolades, and everybody applauds it. What we thought was stable has turned out to be a wildly tipping canoe. Find that the good old days weren't really so good after all. We were and are too comfortable thinking that the American way of life and Christianity are one and the same. They are not. Toleration has become the name of the game, and we have accommodated ourselves to it. Why do we not see that we are like Abraham and overlook our own Sodom? But we are not like him too often. We are not inclined to be merciful or to pray. We speak evilly of those who are caught in detestable sins. We ostracize them. We would have them punished. We fail to pray but are quick to gossip and belittle. We are judge, jury, and sometimes would rather be the executioner. We do not consider that there may be righteous among the wicked. Like those sons of thunder, we would quickly call God's fiery judgment down upon their heads. Make no mistake, Abraham was not overlooking the sins of Sodom. He was not saying, live and let live. He was not saying, love is love. We dare not read our current cowardice and spinelessness into his prayer on behalf of the righteous in Sodom. He was asking the Lord for mercy on the city simply because of the righteous who might be in it. And so we come to Jesus, the father of Abraham, who is willing to wait on the Lord, pleading for the lives of the righteous who may have been in Sodom. Abraham was willing to live and pray in a corrupt and violent and licentious world for the sake of those who would bear the good fruit of faith in that weedy field. As the Holy Apostle writes, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. And that brings us to Jesus, the seed of Abraham, the Redeemer of the world, the Savior of all mankind. He, like his ancient father, intercedes for sinners. He does not desire their death. As a hen covers her chicks, he desires all men to be gathered under his arms, sheltered in his wounds, atoned in his blood. And so what do we see our Lord Christ doing? Praying in the garden for his disciples and all who would follow after them. He prays for his people who must live in an evil world. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus always has his field in mind. And so lifted up on the cross, he continues to pray, indeed pleads, for the tares who surround the wheat. Father, forgive them. He continues praying as he offers himself for the life of the world. Secured between sinners on his right and left, he, the divine wheat, surrounded by the tares of the world, prays for the salvation of all. His blood is shed for the salvation of the world, waters the seed of his word, that it may spring up and bear the abundant fruits of righteousness. Abraham rejoiced to see that day. He rejoiced to see that great day of salvation. And we know to this very day, Jesus sits at the right hand of God pleading for sinners, because he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. We marvel at the long suffering of God toward us. We rejoice that he is always disposed toward kindness, always desiring the repentance and the salvation of sinners. Abraham's persistence in his prayer is amazing. And the Lord's patience with him is amazing. Oh, the goodness of the Lord, said John Chrysostom. Oh, the goodness of the Lord beyond all telling and all imagining. I mean, which of us living in the middle of countless evils could ever choose to exercise such wonderful considerateness and loving kindness when considering the sentence against our peers? From this, we should understand what a powerful bulwark a just person can be for an entire country, and how we should not mock saintly persons who do pray, but rather help them. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The prayer of righteous Abraham would have affected God's salvation of Sodom if only they had wanted to know the mercy of God, but they would not. And so at the end of the day, only three were delivered. But that's a sermon for another day. God grant us hearts and minds inclined toward mercy and toward constant prayer, as we consider the plight of poor sinners and the steadfast love our God has for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.